We told you last season that many, many people across the United States and in a half dozen other countries have been diagnosed with a strange malady called Havana syndrome. These symptoms first began manifesting in 2016 when diplomats at the U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba, began reporting things ranging from physical pain to ringing in the ears to cognitive difficulties. Many had diagnosable traumatic brain injuries. The U.S. government initially dismissed the symptoms as the product of crickets. Yes, crickets. But something more sinister was likely behind it. Multiple investigations from nearly every part of the American intelligence community led only to inconclusive results. And yet more and more people are complaining about these same symptoms. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. Havana syndrome is a perplexing condition. When diplomats at the U.S. Embassy in Havana began reporting things like physical pain, migraines, nausea, ringing in the ears, and even traumatic brain injuries, the State Department and the Department of Defense called the events anomalous health incidents. CIA Director William Burns called them attacks after several senior CIA officers said that they had been targeted. But after a preliminary look, the government decided that the situation was one of mass hysteria caused by nothing but the noise made by crickets when they were seeking to mate. That was ridiculous, of course, and it was wrong. In the following months and years, dozens of American diplomats and government officials in places as far-flung as Hanoi, Bogota, Washington, Australia, Moscow, and elsewhere reported symptoms associated with Havana syndrome. Even the CIA's former station chief in Moscow resigned from the agency and led a lawsuit saying that he too was a victim of Havana syndrome and that the CIA was not taking him or other victims seriously. Doctors now confirm that the syndrome is real. There's verifiable damage done to victims, and many of them can show evidence of these traumatic brain injuries. But there's no treatment, no rhyme or reason why some individuals seem to be targeted while others are not. And no admission from any element of the U.S. government, or from any other government for that matter, that this is real and something needs to be done about it. As time has passed, since we learned about the first cases, more and more people have raised the question of whether Havana syndrome might be the result of something called a directed energy weapon. It sounds far-fetched to many. Could the American government, could any government, actually be testing new weapons on unwitting civilians? William Bill Binney was the fourth-ranking officer in the National Security Agency, or NSA, at the time of the September 11th attacks. As the agency's technical director, he was one of the most highly cleared officers in the entire organization, and he later became one of the most important national security whistleblowers in American history. And his wife, Dr. Catherine Horton, is former high-energy physicist and research fellow at the University of Oxford in England and is investigating directed energy weapons. Bill Binney has accomplished a lot in his life. He likely didn't expect to count himself among the Americans who have experienced the effects of Havana syndrome. We'll talk to him about the possibility that this is, in fact, a weapon. Bill, Catherine, welcome. We're so happy to have you.
It's good to be with you.
Nice to be here.
Bill, Catherine, let's begin with the basics of Havana syndrome. This seemed to come as a surprise to just about everybody, and indeed it wasn't even discovered until 2016. Based on what you know, what are the signs of Havana syndrome, and why hadn't we heard about it or its symptoms before 2016?
Well, my wife is more adept at answering that, but what I know about those kinds of syndromes in embassies, that some of this very similar kind of thing occurred in the Moscow embassy in the early 1970s, and it was due to microwave radiation. And I think that's probably says something to do with this somehow, but would you?
Yeah, I would. One of the things I would like to point out is that when I read the official symptoms, like nausea, ringing in the ears, the first thing I noticed, especially about ringing in the ears, that one has to be very careful because there are different weapons technologies at play here. So in principle, one can cause, there's something called the Fry effect. You can crank up the power on a microwave, aim it at the person's head, and at a certain intensity, this person can hear the microwave. Yeah. So there's basically current being induced in the auditory system, and then one can hear a ringing. However, among all the targeted individuals, of which there are thousands in the United States alone, there's also another way to cause this, and that could have also been done at embassy staff, which is using a previously implanted microchip and then torturing people with ringing in the ears by basically pumping white noise to the microchip. Now, when people were discussing Havana syndrome, they wanted to focus on directed energy weapons and microwave energy and so on, and that's true. That's where one should start, but then also one has to keep in mind that embassy staff in particular would be CIA agents who would have been, on FBI agents, who would have been implanted without their knowledge and consent with microchips, almost, you know, a pro forma. So that is also another way of torturing people. And also microchips are, in my experience, being used to guide the weapons through the walls. So if you're aiming a microwave or directed energy weapons at somebody, through maybe one wall, maybe even several walls, which is entirely possible, you need some sort of marker to know that you actually hit the person. There are some, you know, guiding technology, but if you really want to target somebody's head, especially when they're sitting at a desk moving back and forth, it helps having markers of, you know, technology already on the person, like covertly, non-consensually implanted microchips that then give you a coordinate system. And I say that because in the analysis we've done, I've worked with a Belgian university where we have scanned victims who complained about directed energy weapon attacks. We found microchips in all of them. One can actually measure the radio frequency emission from these microchips. Now, for those who already struggle with Havana syndrome, that's very far out to then take another technology. But usually this comes as a package. Covert non-consensual implanting goes along with directed energy weapon attacks in pretty much 100% of the cases.
I mentioned in a previous episode of the show that not a single day goes by that I don't receive an email from somebody who believes that he or she is suffering from some sort of government experimentation. In many cases, these people, quite unfortunately, are mentally ill. But in many cases, they are legitimately suffering from something, and they have the MRIs and the CAT scans to prove it. Is it possible to differentiate between people who need to be medicated and people who are suffering as a result of something electronic?
Yes, that is actually very, very easy to do. And what I would say, so that, again, there are two things. One is the directed energy weapon attacks, which usually happen and then the attackers stop. So unless one can catch them in the act and record live evidence, this is something that I've done because I came under attack. I managed to film how I was being shot at with directed energy weapons, and I used metal foil to show that one could hear the impact and actually see the foil move as well in a completely sealed room. So that's possible, but it is much easier to prove that victims are in fact victims and not mentally ill by finding the microchips. And as I said, we found microchips in all of them. So the way to do that is to use a standard bug detector. I've got one here that I always use because there's a very high frequency range from 1 megahertz to 6 gigahertz. And then one can literally scan the body. Typically the strongest microchip is in the neck, in our experience. And then one can hold the the bug detector to the neck and move it around, change the angle until it shows a signal. And the smoking gun evidence that also distinguishes the microchip from any background radiation is, first of all, that you can reproduce this any time of the day. You will always find a microchip. But more importantly, that the radiation from these microchips is polarized, which means that at a certain angle, you will see the maximum. So little LEDs show up as you pick up a signal, and you will see the maximum signal at a certain angle. It will go down as you change the angle. So that is a telltale sign for polarized radiation. Background radiation typically is unpolarized. So it doesn't matter how you stick the antenna into a room. If there's Wi-Fi, mobile phone communication, you always pick up a signal, but these microchips are very, very specific. So that is usually the first way. Once you've found a chip in the neck, all victims are implanted according to a symmetric pattern, which is universal around the world. It doesn't matter if the victims are from Russia, from the US, or Germany. It's always the same. and they are basically implanted symmetrically in all the major joints, elbows, shoulders, hips, knees, and even down to the fingers with smaller microchips. So there's also a scientific paper on body area networks that exactly describes this technology that we found in victims. And when you actually look at where you find the microchips, you realize, oh my God, it is a coordinate system on the human body. So with this coordinate system, one can aim a directed energy weapon, hit a chip. The chip communicates back, sends a signal, yes, I received some energy. And then you can target individuals. So the standard victim, that was also the same in the embassies, by the way. People described having their heads targeted, but sometimes also things like hearts and lungs. They had difficulty breathing, and that is actually the standard victim report. So I'm a victim myself, and I can tell you that you can feel a beam. You can feel it scan across your body. You can feel it changing from one side of the body to the other. When you have pain, suddenly switch hemispheres. It has nothing to do with the human brain because it's divided into hemispheres. So having, always pain on one side of the body could be a natural disease or natural ailment. But when it switches body halves very rapidly, that is usually an external attack. So this is how to go about proving that these people actually are genuine victims and are being targeted.
Immediately after this began happening in Cuba, the State Department and the CIA commissioned studies to get to the bottom of the causes. At least that's what they said they would do. The State Department's Jason Advisory Group finally said in early 2022 that it was not likely that the symptoms were being caused by a directed energy weapon. Also in early 2022, the CIA released a report saying that in 976 of 1,000 cases of Havana syndrome, they could confirm that the symptoms were not a result of a hostile foreign power. Without drawing any definitive conclusions, these studies speculated that the causes of Havana syndrome could be ultrasound waves or they could be pesticides. But then a blue ribbon panel of the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine said that the likeliest cause was microwave energy, specifically directed pulsed RF energy. What do you know about the fallout from exposure to this kind of energy?
Of course, yeah, there is, yeah. So in terms of fallout from this energy, it depends on what frequency, what intensity, what exact weapon is being used. So there's directed energy weapons that cause basically electromagnetic shock waves. If you get targeted by that, it feels like you're being hit on the head with a hammer. It can knock you out. It can cause strokes. It can cause heart attacks. They can also use it, classical microwaves, to quite literally fry people's brains, okay? So just as much as you cook a steak in the microwave, you can cook part of the heart muscle through that. You can even make a heart explode. That has been done to an author, Mikhail Fivik, who was exposing corruption in Prague. He wrote books about, modeled on actual corrupt figures. And one day his heart exploded, a pretty impossible, medical incident. But that's very easy to do by just aiming a microwave beam at somebody's heart and, causing it, or directed energy weapon with an actual shockwave. So other symptoms can be seen right on my forehead. I had an entire circular disc branded into my forehead by directed energy weapons that are hidden in cars and are aimed at me when I'm driving my car. So you can have burning symptoms as well, depending on the energy. But tissue damage is typically the common kind. I should also say that there's directed energy weapons Bill and I have witnessed, which one shot two holes into sheet metal in our home, whereby the weapon was launched from a drone and it shot through the roof and the upper floor without leaving a trace. And we had sheet metal. We were hiding in the basement, actually. We moved our bedroom into the basement because of the attacks on us. And we had put metal whiteboards on the ground floor, on the ground, to shield ourselves on the floor below. And in the middle of the night, we heard these loud bangs and we went upstairs and found two holes in the sheet metal. But there was no hole in the roof and the ceiling above. So this is a directed energy weapon that is directing the energy longitudinally, very precisely, to try to shoot through metal shielding, whereby leaving the roof and the upper floor, you know, ceiling and floor of the upper floor completely unharmed. So these energies can be carefully tuned at what depth the shockwave actually has its maximum impact. And what that means is that you can, somebody, an ambassador sitting at his desk inside the embassy, maybe in a windowless room, and from a drone above, you can quite literally, you know, shoot his brain or his heart, making him have an instantaneous shock to the heart, heart attack, or, you know, cause what would look like probably an aneurysm, brain bleeding, and kill him like that. So anything is possible with this technology.
Bill and Catherine, thank you. We're speaking with NSA whistleblower Bill Binney and his wife, Catherine, about Havana syndrome and directed energy weapons. We're going to take a short break, but stay with us. We're going to get into what the U.S. government may be planning in the way of new weapons for future battlefields and how those weapons are tested. But more importantly, we'll talk to Bill about his own experience with these weapons.
Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays, on est en France quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Donetsk.
I love you, Donbass.
My name's Tiferius Maximus Crane. I'm an American citizen in Donetsk.
Which is why I'm here, to show you back home in the West the truth.
And as you can see, my government's supplied weapons have struck a civilian area. This isn't a military target. This is a grocery store.
I honestly can't imagine how these people have lived like this for 9 years.
And there are children here, I'm telling you, that have died because of my government, the United States government's funding of this senseless war. Ugh, I'm big baby, sorry.
So we're currently being shown here in a civilian populated area with civilians.
Right here, you can see an impact of a
Caesar or something else.
Man, this makes me angry. I'm sorry, I don't mean to... I know, but still, you know, you feel responsible as an American. The Azov forces were hiding in civilian structures. Machine gun nest that we saw outside from the courtyard. Yeah, he had runes and Nazi tattoos on his body. Our journey is that it's good versus evil. I pray that victory comes soon, and I believe it will.
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with famed NSA whistleblower Bill Binney. Bill was one of the leading technological minds in the American government before becoming one of the most important whistleblowers in recent history. Today, we're joined by him and by his wife, Dr. Catherine Horton, a former high-energy physicist and research fellow at the University of Oxford, to discuss Havana syndrome and directed energy weapons. Good to have you both with us. Bill, I know that you've been suffering with symptoms consistent with Havana syndrome. We're told studies conducted by different governmental entities found the initial phase is a result of a sonic disturbance. And 15% of people who show Havana syndrome symptoms also show a disruption in brain activity and eventually traumatic brain injury. What's your experience been like?
Well, mine, I don't think is Havana syndrome type. It's like implants, because I've got, and I'm being treated for pain for it, but, and the physician has never seen anything like this, but it's like 4 points on each of my legs in a parallel position on both legs. And the pain sometimes just alternates back and forth between those 4 points. I mean, it's a point pain. I can put a finger on it, on each of the 8 points, 4 on each leg, and that's where the pain's coming from. And then we have an X-ray that shows something embedded there. There's something there. I've been trying to get somebody to take it out, but I think they're all afraid to take it out because it might imply the government's doing something very, very sadistic.
Yeah, we should also say that the pain that Bill experiences is so extreme. He has to go to a special pain clinic where he's prescribed particularly strong and tightly regulated pain medication. Yeah. And that's usually not even enough to block out the pain if the torture starts. And we call it torture because it would start exactly on the hour, for example, or exactly when Bill wants to go to sleep, and they would torture him throughout the night. And that's usually the pattern. So incredibly unnatural sort of medical issues.
Have you been in touch with current or former government officials about this situation? What I'm curious about is what kind of response you get. Many people want to just brush off these symptoms as psychosomatic, but they're documentable. What are others in a position either to know or to have an educated opinion telling you?
They're not.
Yeah.
They're just not getting involved.
Yeah. So the government officials usually block. We don't get any responses to letters. But I should say that the U.S. government has known ever since Obama launched the so-called bioethics committee, where they actually did a survey of targeted individuals and found detailed reports. I mean, this went on for a long time. They collected a lot of material, and then they said, oh, thank you very much, and goodbye, that's it. So people testified about that they're being tortured to death in their own homes. They provided evidence, they provided doctor certificates, and the U.S. government did absolutely nothing. Now, the answer for that, the reason behind it is very obvious. They are doing it. They know exactly what they're doing. And they just wanted to find out how well it's working and how people are responding to it, which is usually very badly. But it's we know it's a global torture program. I personally have litigated against MI6 in 2016. I asked the High Court in London for an injunction against the attacks on me. And 3 days after my first hearing, I survived my first assassination attempt on the road. This came after MI6 actually gave me a death threat as I was going to the court. So it was unmistakable that it was them. And it's also clear that they are doing it. But when you analyze the victim cases, how they are distributed throughout Europe, most of them are in Germany, in North America, most of the victims are in the United States. And you really map out what is being done and how ruthless people are, I would say that this is really a global torture program whereby victims get loaded in and get tortured to death. During the torture, they typically experience anything that that would be in the arsenal of the intelligence agencies: directed energy weapons, microwave burning, but also things like hacking and housebreaking and car sabotage. It's almost like they are guinea pigs or training dummies to train up the next generation of torturers.
You and I had a conversation about this issue years ago, and you said something that has always stuck with me. You said, it may sound crazy, but I think there's some science behind it, when talking about the complaints of people who said that they were suffering from the result of these directed energy attacks. Can you tell us what you meant by that? Can you explain what the science is?
Our experience is that they can follow people wherever they are. We trace these Even going to Europe, we traced the signals that were here in different states hitting us, also went with us over there. So, you know, they follow you wherever you go.
I have one final question that I think many of us formerly in the intelligence community would have. A lot of people who have worked in government, and especially in the post-1975 intelligence community, have trouble concluding that the government would experiment on innocent, unwitting civilians. We know that the CIA certainly did this for many, many years, from the early 1950s until 1975 and the advent of the Church Committee. But deep down, do you think this is a government program? Do you think the Pentagon or perhaps the CIA or NSA are doing this?
I think you just named the three that were primarily responsible, in my view.
FBI also.
FBI, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, all of them, all of the above. But I should also say that MI6, the whole Five Eyes is involved. BND in Germany is involved. We know the Polish are involved. So for a long time, we assumed that it's a NATO-wide torture program. But it's actually bigger than NATO because nations that are not officially in NATO also torture their population. So it is really a global torture program.
Thank you, Bill Binney and Dr. Catherine Horton, for helping us shed light on this new and very important issue. And thank you to our viewers for tuning in. In the 5th century BC, the ancient Greek city-state of Athens and the city-state of Sparta fought each other in a conflict called the Peloponnesian War. On the eve of that conflict, in an assembly of Greek city-states seeking peace, a delegate from the city-state of Corinth said, "Many times before now, we have told you what we were likely to suffer from Athens. And on each occasion, instead of taking to heart what we were telling you, you chose to suspect our motives and to consider that we were speaking only about our own grievances." Well, that's the life of the whistleblower. Why is it that when people make a revelation, so many members of the public, or the government, or the media, feel that it's just complaining? How many times have we seen whistleblowers make revelations only to be branded as fantasists or crackpots? That has to end. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We'll see you next time.